It's wonderful to see all of you tonight. Thank you so much for being with us on the Memorial Weekend. I appreciate you taking the time to come tonight, and maybe then you'll leave tomorrow. But thank you so much for being here. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you tonight for the extraordinary gift that we've been given in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, tonight for your grace and your mercy to us. And we ask you, Lord, tonight that you would help us understand to a fuller and deeper understanding of what the grace of God really means in our life. What it means to live in it. What it means to enjoy it. What it means to grasp it. What it means to live by it. And I just pray, Father, you'd touch our hearts tonight. There are some wonderful answers to prayer tonight, Lord, in this auditorium. And it's always my joy just to be able to sit in the back and watch people come in and just see what you're doing in people's lives. And I thank you, God, so much for your grace and your mercy, your involvement, your tender care, your faithfulness. There has never been a moment in our life, Lord, that you let us down. We may have been walking in the dark. We may not have been able to see. We may have felt overwhelmed. We may have been confused. We may have been filled with sorrow. But you were carrying us. You keep your word to us. And I just bless you tonight, Lord, for your incredible promise. In Jesus' name, amen. I sometimes wish I could just stand up here and tell you story after story of people in this room that walked by me, have been in my prayers, and I know the prayers of others. And God's just working in some really amazing ways. I was going to bring an email tonight I got from a young man this week. Been praying for him for months and months and months, as some of the others here have. He's been going through an incredibly difficult time, and not too long ago we got together, and I just very gently asked him, I said, I'll just call him Tom. I said, Tom, if you fell asleep tonight and didn't wake up, are you? No, I'm not sure. And for a long time, we all just thought he knew the Lord, that he was a believer. So did his friends. Anyway, so we've been praying for him. I got this extraordinary email in the middle of the week. Praise God, hallelujah, Mark. My eyes have been opened. I cannot believe what God has shown me. I've come to know Jesus Christ. And I mean, up until that point, some of the times we had met, it was as if it was death walking into our meetings. It was extraordinary to see what the Lord's doing. And from India, and I've been praying for her dear friend who was in the hospital, and God answered that prayer. God answers prayer, doesn't he? He hears us, he cares, he answers prayer. Sometimes we don't understand why he doesn't do it sooner. I'd be the first one to admit that. But the reality is, he's involved in your life and you matter to God. Nothing in the world matters more to God than you. I had another just precious experience. There was a young lady coming here for about a month from from China. She went back, and I asked someone who knew her for the email, and I wrote to just tell her it was wonderful to have her at the services. And she wrote me back. She said, Pastor Mark, it was so wonderful to come to church. I felt so much peace there and love by the Christians. And so she asked me if I would pray for her, if she could once in a while write and share with me some of the difficulties in her life. I said, well, of course you can. So we began to write, and I sent her a couple verses with her name in them. And she recently wrote me, and she said, you know, Mark, these have meant so much to me. I don't yet know Jesus, but these think, you know, 10,000 miles away, however far it is away, we're having these conversations. What a privilege it is to share the Lord. Let me ask you a question, all right? How many of you grew up as a kid going to some family cabin? Anybody here? Raise your hand. I got a feeling it's a lot of people, right? I could not. Your family cabin, right? Some kind of cabin? What do you remember about the cabin? What? Go ahead. What are some of the things you remember about you going to the cabin? The boat. Okay, the boat. That's not the cabin, that's the boat, but that's her memory. What? What? No what? No internet. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Let me put it differently. What do you remember about your cabin compared to the house you live in? What? Old? Wow, you guys just don't get it, do you? I guess just like normal, I'm going to have to tell you. Go to the cabin. Have you noticed? It's so relaxed. Got on the floor. Nobody worried. You just hung out and you were chilling, right? Okay, now how many remember that? How many? Raise your hand. You remember that memory. And then how many remember when you went home? Wipe your feet. Oh, take your shoes off. Oh, everything's got to be neat. Or no, that's a mess. Straighten it up, right? The house is different. The house is different than the cabin. And I think that's the way a lot of people's Christianity is. I want the cabin to be a picture of the grace of God. That you realize you can bring your messes to God. You can relax in the presence of God. You do not have to be uptight and paranoid about, oh, wow, I mean, is everything okay with me and God? Is God okay? Am I okay? I had a friend who grew up in a house. I actually went there a couple times, and it was like a showcase. I mean, there was one room that no one, it was just this living space with this beautiful furniture, no one went in it. It was just kind of for show. I don't know that it ever got used. The carpet was white. And you're like, man, I feel uptight in this house. One time I was invited, I don't know why, to the governor's mansion for a dinner. And I walked in, I'm like, I do not feel comfortable here. Another time I was invited, sometimes I do these weddings or people would, you know, hey, why don't you invite him over? And I was out in Minnetonka. It lacks there. Do you know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm saying? And this is what, when people bring me to the cabins, I just noticed that people are different at the cabin. They're different at the cabin. Next time you go, you watch. It's just different. I don't know if it's just in their head, if it's just psychological, or if it's just, well, I'm out of the city, and I'm way up by the lake, and we're just in this, usually, now you got to own, you know, million-dollar cabins. So that might be why I never saw some of them. But the ones I went to were old dishes in the cupboard, old Monopoly game over in the corner, fireplace over here. And you just felt like, you know, geez, we can just relax, let your hair down, unwind. You ever notice sometimes you go to some churches, maybe you've been to a church, a building, you know, and you walk in, it's very formal, everything's very, we start to think that God is like this. That somehow I've got to be like on my very, very best behavior with God. And I can't move and I can't squeak and I can't. Everything's just got to be just right. And I find a lot of Christians are just very uncomfortable with God because they do not understand the grace of God. There's a passage I'd like to read to you tonight out of Zephaniah chapter 3. That explains a little bit about this. I'm going to read it to you from a couple different versions. But this is Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. On that day, announce to the Lord God has arrived to live among you. Now, of course, this applies to us. This is futuristic in the prophecy of when Christ rules directly out of Jerusalem. During the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. You can read about it in Isaiah. You can read about it in Revelation. It's going to happen. But this is also about us. Why? Because we are now the temple of the living God. He is a mighty Savior. He rejoices over you with shouts of joy and great gladness with his love. He will calm your fears. He will exalt over you, singing a song. He rejoices over you with shouts of joy. He will calm you with his love. The Living Bible says this. On that day, the announcement to Jerusalem will be, cheer up, don't be afraid. The Lord your God has arrived to live among you. He's a mighty Savior. Rejoice over you and not accuse you. Is that a joyous choir I hear? No, it is the Lord himself exalting over you, refreshing you in his love. Refreshing you in his love. This is the reality. God wants us to learn to relax and be ourselves with God. When was the last time, really, you felt in your own heart, man, Lord, it's just so wonderful to be with you. I can just relax. I don't have to be paranoid. I don't have to be like, did I do this right? Did I do that just right? But I can relax in the company of God because he loves me and he's filled with grace towards me. God has extended his grace towards us. I shared with you a few weeks ago, for those of you who could be here during our child dedication, I talked about parenting with grace. And we talked a lot about God the Father. And then I shared with you, and again, I'm not a perfect father. I'm not God. But in the 41 years I've known the Lord, I have grown to understand things about God and how I might apply them in my own life, in my own parenting. And we talked about how just the different ways in which we as a parent can demonstrate grace to our children. I didn't want my children to grow up with a stern, overbearing, frightening father. I wanted my children to be comfortable in my presence, comfortable in my love. So comfortable that they knew I can talk to Dad about whatever's going on in my life. And generally speaking, that was the reality. I share with you a couple examples of my daughter during her early teen years and things that would just bother her at night. And I explained to you that because of my wife's health, I was sleeping on the couch then, and my daughter would come out. Usually about 11 o'clock, she'd wake me up and say, Dad, can we talk? And I'd just sit up, and I would listen. That went on for months. I never accused her. She wrote me a letter not too long ago. She said, Dad, I look back. I just felt so much love. I never felt like, you never made me feel dumb. You never looked at me and finally said, like, okay, sweetheart, get over this. Grow up. Get to bed. Stop this craziness. You never did that. Now, I want to tell you why I didn't do that. I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm a human being. There were times I thought to myself, as I could hear the door opening because I'm a very light sleeper, okay, here we go again. There was one reason why I worked very hard not to show that. You know why? Because I wanted to make it easy for all of my children to come to God. I wanted to make it attractive for all of my children to grasp that just like my father was loving and gracious and kind, my heavenly father is like that. And of course, we can be a lot more paranoid with our heavenly father because, my goodness, there's a psalm in Psalm 130. It says, if you, O Lord, would mark iniquity, who could stand? Who could stand? Oh my gosh, I couldn't stand. Billy Graham couldn't stand. The Pope couldn't stand. No one could stand. If God is going to keep track of all of our wrong thoughts, our wrong actions, I'd be in a lot of trouble. But he doesn't. See, he doesn't. And the Bible says, in fact, that God put his spirit in us that cries out this, Abba, Father. And you know the word means? Daddy. Daddy. I was back there tonight. It's always so special for me. I was surrounded by all my little grandchildren. And my little grandchildren, they just come right up to me. It doesn't matter who's around me. To be honest, the president was around. The governor was around me. Famous Viking football player was around me. You know, they might, if they knew the Vikings, they might look at him and think that's pretty cool. They're just going to come running right up to me. They're not afraid of me. They know that I love them. Tonight I'm holding my little grandson, my littlest, and he's slobbering all over my pants. I really don't like slobber, but I like him. You know, now, vomit's another matter, but fortunately he didn't do that. But if he had, well, I'd have gone and wiped it off, handed him off to Grandma for a minute, and gotten ready to share anyway. God wants us to learn to relax in who he made us, to relax in what Christ accomplished for you and me. It is not our merit, it is not our performing, it is not our doing things just right that causes God to like us or not. It's Christ. It's a gift. His grace is a gift. It's a gift that he gave to us. We do not have to be uptight or on edge or, this word, self-conscious with God, because we're completely accepted by God all on the basis of what Jesus Christ did. That's what amazing grace is all about. And it's really ironic that Derek decided to sing that tonight. I'd like to recommend a movie. My wife found this the other day at the dollar store, and usually you think the dollar store, what could you find good at the dollar store? Well, she brings home this new movie, a two-year-old movie with Cuba Gooding Jr. called Freedom. And it's about true story of a slave escaping through the Underground Railroad, and simultaneously the true story of the man who wrote the song Amazing Grace, who was a slave trader, and how he comes to Christ, how they both come to Christ. It was actually very moving. It wasn't tacky. It was very well done. The music in it is pretty phenomenal. And the whole story of that song is God's grace to us. We don't deserve his grace. And we never deserve his grace. And we can do nothing to keep deserving his grace. It's a gift. It's a gift. Now, I'm gonna give you a silly, funny, but hopefully you'll get this picture of what grace looks like. What it means to live in grace. What it means to accept the grace of God. This is an example. So I'm not a very... I don't know how to paint. I mean, I could paint, I guess, if I had to. I'm not a tile guy. I don't know how to grout tile. I don't know how to put in toilets in the house. But I love my children. I have four, and my two sons-in-law. So recently I said, hey, guys, you know, I'd like to offer something to you. It's something that's, I think, be very useful and something I know how to do, and I know how to do it really well. And I'll do it for you for free, and it'll save you money. Anytime you want me to change your oil, you come on over. I got two little ramps in my garage, and I will buy you Mobil 1 synthetic 15,000-mile oil along with the $10 Fram synthetic filter that lasts for an entire year, and I'll change it for you. Well, so my son Jeremy, he was the first. I've been trying to schedule him, and finally, he came. He pulls in my garage. Well, I didn't let him. Once he got there, I pulled it in, got it on the little ramps. Had all my work clothes on. The old 60-year-old man climbed under the car. I undid the bolt. I drained the hot oil. I put the bolt back on. I undid the filter. I had the little gloves on. I got the oil on my shirt. I just let him relax. Hey, go and visit with Mom if you want. I paid for the oil and put it in. I put the filter on. I took the jacks out. I took the thing down. I double-checked to make sure everything wasn't leaking. And then I came in with a smile and said, son, you're all ready to go. I bought the oil, changed the oil, and oh, yeah, a year ago, gifted him the van. Oh, yeah, and put tires on it 6 months after that. And oh, yeah, I gave him the gas cards because it's one of the ways I can support his salvage project work with which he used to put gas in the van to get to my house to get the free oil. That's called a lot of grace. Do you understand? That's called grace. That's called grace. That's grace. Now, what did Jeremy have to do? He had to believe it and drive over to receive it. And I had to kind of work into a schedule. Well, that's a big savings, because when you use that kind of oil, the whole thing was, you know, $36.50 with tax. But if you go into a service station to get synthetic oil, 15,000-mile oil put in, it's $120. And most people, if they do $32 oil change, do that four times a year, every 3,000 miles, that's $120. So, hey, you know what? Dad's helping you out. I love you. I love you. I love you. It was actually enjoyable. I'm waiting for one of the other kids to take me up on it. Somebody come on over, let me change your oil. Because it's just a simple way that I can give, but it's a demonstration of God's grace to us. Some years ago, before my daughter Jessica got married, some of you know Jessica was sick for a very, very long time, but one of the individuals that God used in a tremendous way, actually, to help Jessica in her journey to get better was the guy who eventually married her. His name is Mark. And Mark had finished college, but he had some big student loan, and my boys had moved out, and I had this room downstairs. Well, actually, the room was where I slept. I finally had a room because all my kids left. And so I said, you know, Mark, I'd really like to help you out. Jessica was living with Chris and Wendy Sulzer at the time. I never had them living under my roof at the same time. I just want to be real clear about that. And so I said, you know, Mark, I'd really like to help you out, be a blessing. You're welcome to move in. You can live here free. You have to pay for any utilities. And I think you guys eat some specialized food, so I'll have some of that in the fridge. You guys can eat that too. Oh, and here's a little car. You were such a big help. You don't have a little car, so I got this little Hyundai Accent and gave him the car. So he comes to the house, and Kathy and I really wanted him to feel like he was at home, you know, just at home. So, of course, Jessica would come over often to see him. That was kind of a way we could be the chaperones without being the chaperones. Do you know what I'm saying? And so Mom and I, we just... So you come to my twin home and you walk up these stairs and there's the living room, dining room, kitchen. It's all one big kind of a vaulted thing. And you know what she and I would do? We just take our food and we just spend in the bedroom, just the back bedroom. We got a little TV back there, a little rocker. And we just be up there like, kids, use the kitchen. Make your special food. Make your concoctions. Mark was working for General Mills at the time. And he'd come home sometimes from these big banquets. And he'd have these huge, humongous raspberries and all this extra food. And so he got this shrink wrap machine. And he and Jesse, they'd freeze dry all the food. And then they'd wrap it up and they'd stick it down in the storage room that I had. And I just like, that's fine with me. That's fine with me. I love you. I love you. It was almost 4 years that Mark lived there. And I said, and here are Mark's legalistic requirements. Legalistic requirements. Don't pay me nothing. Try to pay a double on your debt if you can. It'd be good. But if you guys are going to get married someday, not to have any debt, that's up to you. That's what I'd advise. And you can't be down in that bedroom alone together. Those are my only rules. Grace, man. Just a lot of grace. 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 And Mark, where he'd tell you, yeah, it was just grace. But you know where that all comes from for me? From how God has been with me. Oh my gosh, God has been so good to me, so gracious to me. And one of the greatest joys in the world is sharing that with other people. Just share it. Just share it. You know, I'll tell you another secret. One of the ways we go deeper in grace is when we treat others with the grace God treated us. And it takes our understanding deeper and deeper and deeper. I do this with my wife. I do this with my children. I do this with men that I've been laboring with in the Lord for 30 years who have hurt my feelings or offended me. And I ask myself, well, what does God do when I offended him? Does he slap me down? No. Frankly, God seldom brought it up. He forgives. He forgives. That's what grace does. It forgives. It forgives. Forgive it. Let it go. Some of you have a difficult time understanding God's grace for you because you don't treat anybody with the grace God has given you. You're hard, man. You're hard on others. And you hold things against other people. And you let that resentment grow there. And it robs you of this joy that you could have in the Lord. You follow what I'm saying? It's so important. It's so important in our lives to just extend the grace to others that God has given to us. Man, it makes life just free. Free. You know, the Bible often puts grace and peace together. And the reason many do not experience peace is because they're not living in grace. And when we learn to live in grace, and we learn to live in the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus, you know, I realize some people come, and a number of you that come long enough, you realize maybe I'm not as weird as you first thought when you first saw me, but you walk in, you go, what is a preacher wearing leather jackets for? My other one's a motorcycle jacket. Why does he do that? Because I'm free, because I can. I do it because I can. I do it because I enjoy it. I do it because God has given me the freedom to do it. Where in the Bible does it say how the pastor's supposed to dress? We're not in the Old Testament. They had very strict dress requirements, did they not? Read what the priests were supposed to wear. But I ain't one of those guys. John the Baptist went around in camel hair with a leather belt, and he ate honey and bugs. That's a little weird. I like the honey part, not the bugs. You're free, brother and sister, you're free. And all of us here, we enjoy different things. Some people like to wear shorts. I never was always shocked when I come to Minnesota, and I'm like, it's 20 below out, and this guy's walking in the store in shorts. I'm like, okay, hey, whatever, to each his own. But that's weird. And then one time I went to a wedding. I'll never forget this. Okay, I don't like suits. I hate suits. Let me just get it out there. I hate them. And those little girly wedding shoes, I always feel little thin, little like girl socks that you wear with those shoes. I hate that. I hate that stuff. I hate it. There, I said it. Okay. So if you like it, I used to wear a pair of Argyle socks. I want you to know. You know what Argyle is? Come up to me later. I'll describe it to you. I used to even have a paisley tie. Okay, but I don't really like that stuff. So I went to this wedding one summer of a dear friend. And it happened to be 95 degrees that day, and I wore this jacket. And I wore these khaki pants and some Harley boots. I have a pair of Harley boots at home. And I walked in, and I met his family. And he really loves me. He really loves me. About a week later, we're alone at a meeting. He goes, Mark, I got to tell you. You realize you were the laughingstock? My family, like, what in the world? Is this guy out of his mind? It's 95 degrees out. I said, how did I know he wasn't going to be air conditioned in the church? You guys were wearing suit jackets. What's the difference? I'm like, but you know, well, I can see that. I'm weird. I get it. I'm weird. Are you weird? I don't know. Ask somebody who knows you. We all have our idiosyncrasies, do we not? We all have our idiosyncrasies. We all have, I don't know how guys can wear flip-flops. No man wears flip-flops. Come on, you guys. No real man wears flip-flops. Back in the 60s, they were called a different name, but I won't use that name tonight. But I realize some of you like your little flip-flops, you know? And you like your little Skechers shoes that you just slip on and walk around and they weigh 1 ounce each. You know, okay. There's grace, see? There's freedom. Did you know what the Bible says in Corinthians? All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but do those things that are beneficial. Not seeking your own profit, but the profit of the many, that they might be saved. Colossians says, why do you submit to these rules such as don't touch that, don't taste this, don't drink that? For all these things may have an appearance of godliness by the strict discipline of the body, but are of no value when it comes to fleshly indulgence, grace. Grace. It's the grace of God that teaches us, no, I'm not really going to do that. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Yeah, I enjoy that. We live in grace. Do you understand? We live in grace. I remember when Jeremy was little, my son. He went through this phase. First, it was Barry Sanders. But then while he really liked Barry Sanders, he really got into comic books. And I remember a couple of people like, well, why do you take him to that? There's this comic world, what's it called? Cinders? But what was that? Schindler. There you go. There. So I had one rule with Jeremy. Okay, see? Not many rules. So I said to him, son, I think he was about 8 or 9, maybe he was 10. I said, son, now, can you think of one thing that might really bother me about a comic book? And he used to buy the kind that you collect, you know, that you could sell later with worth a lot of money. Especially the Wolverine comic books, right? Anybody know the Wolverine ones? Right, the Wolverine ones. It's the girls with the exaggerated body parts. Don't bring them in my house. And I'll never forget one time. So he comes. He didn't know. He bought it in the plastic case. It was. So I pulled it out one day. He's sitting there. This is how you make a point, parent. And I opened it up. And I'm thumbing through it. It's pretty cool. And then we come to her. Bam. There. Sticking out all over. And I ripped it right in front of his. It was a $30 comic. I just ripped it to pieces. we don't bring these home.
And then I reached in my pocket, I took out $30 and said, there you go, son. I just paid for it. I love you. We go get other comic books, but we're not going to bring these comic books home. You know, I loved him. He knows I loved him. We enjoyed life. And sometimes, once in a while, just like our Heavenly Father, what does he do? What does read Hebrews chapter 12. He corrects us. Do not get discouraged when the Lord corrects us. Endure training, endure hardship as training. The Lord is treating you as a much-loved child. So sometimes the Lord brings pain or a trial into our life, but it's not because he's upset at you. It's not because he's punishing you. It's because he's teaching us a wonderful life lesson. You follow me? It's not because he hates you. It's not because, wow, you're in a lot of trouble. God loves you. He loves you, and he's for you, and he wants you to enjoy what he's given to you. He wants you to enjoy his grace. He wants you to enjoy his world. I'll close with this. There's a text in Timothy. Paul says, watch out. He tells Timothy, watch out, because there's a time coming when men will forbid marriage. They will forbid you from eating certain foods, which were all created by God to be received with thankfulness and to enjoy. All things God created was for your enjoyment. And these things are sanctified by the word and by prayer, by our perspective, by being thankful for them and realizing God gave me these things. God wants you to enjoy them. He don't want you to think, oh my gosh, God, I can't laugh, I can't have fun, I can't do this, I can't do that. But we just need to ask ourselves, Lord, would this benefit others? Would this be a blessing? How can I encourage other people? You follow? We learn to live in grace. We learn to give the grace that God has given to us. That's what I want to share with you tonight. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and maybe you can wait just a few minutes, visit with each other before you get your kids, because I'm finishing early tonight, and I think they're having a special little concert. Or you're welcome to go down and stand real quietly outside and see Lisa and Spencer and do their little concert with the kids. You can do that as well. Thank you so much for coming. I hope you have a great Memorial Weekend. Lord, we just thank you tonight for your incredible love, your incredible mercy, your incredible grace. I am so grateful, Lord, that you accept me just as I am. Man, what an incredible privilege to know the God of heaven accepts us right where we are, and that you've given us this incredible relationship with you because of Jesus, and that because of Christ, we are good. We are good in your eyes. We are holy in your eyes. We're righteous in your eyes. We are your much-loved children. And we can come into your presence anytime, in any situation, in any emotional state, and receive mercy, as the Bible tells us, understanding, empathy, and grace to help us in our time of need. That's God. And I just thank you, Lord, for that reality. Give these folks a wonderful weekend together with friends and loved ones. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming tonight, guys.